Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
And welcome back to Approaching the Wardrobe, where we explore the journey toward orthodoxy. Today's topic is going to deal a little bit with death and the dead, quote unquote, and the communion of the saints. Just this Sunday in church in our little mission, I was there with a pretty cold heart in the early part of the liturgy, which I was wrestling with quite intensely. Somehow, though, God broke through, I believe, during that liturgy.
Christ is risen from the dead, trembling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. By
the time we were preparing for the Eucharist, I found myself noticing the lady in front of me directly, who just so happens to be sobbing at the moment, quietly, trying to be discreet about it, but you could tell she was crying into a little handkerchief. And it turns out that this happened to be the wife of Proto-Presbyter Joseph Creta, Archpriest and Proto-Presbyter Joseph Creta, who just a couple months ago had passed away, fell asleep in the Lord. We'll pick up with him in a moment here. Somehow in his latter years, he and his wife had attended and been a part of our little mission parish, our little Antiochian mission parish, even though he was in his ministry years, many ministry decades and years, mostly with the OCA, I believe. He always loved the small missions. I didn't know who this was completely, who I was interacting with at times, and who I would see almost every Sunday behind the iconostasis, helping with serving the liturgy, with the prayers and partaking of it with our priest, Father James, each Sunday morning. I didn't really understand who this was, but over time, just seeing him up there and partaking of the Eucharist, blessing and praying with our priest, and then after service, he slowly making his way back to the coffee hour and sitting down and being kind and interactive with people. I didn't realize who I was dealing with, but I had a sense of his presence, and so did my children, who are young teenagers all the way up to an older teenager. And they loved his presence at our liturgies. So did everyone else in our parish. A couple short conversations I had with him were thanking him for being there and how we enjoyed his presence. Even that awkwardness when you're newly Orthodox, not knowing how to greet or not greet someone who's a bishop or an archpriest, or in this case, even a proto-presbyter, that rare title he had been granted. So I remember my first time trying to talk with him, I held out my hands a certain way for a blessing. I wasn't really sure how to do that. My wife and I still chuckle to this day, not remembering how to greet a certain person at certain times in the Orthodox world, and hope to learn better over time. But he gave me a blessing. I believe I kissed his hand. Wasn't really sure how to, and kissed me on the cheek. That's always an awkward moment as well, where I don't know how many times. I know you can either do once or three times or something, but one of them might be like the Judas kiss. So you go three times because of the Trinity. I don't know. I can't remember from my Greek parish days exactly how that's supposed to work. But I don't know if it was on this occasion or another, asked him about his crucifix he was wearing, because he wore different crosses. They always seemed very unique. And this one was a particularly unique one because it was made out of a tusk. He explained to me with a smile on his face, his beloved friend who way back had carved out of tusk in Alaska, this cross for him to wear. It was a crucifix style, but it was made out of this ivory-looking seal. I believe it was a seal tusk of some sort from up in Alaska, and he was so proud of it and loved it, and I remember loving it, and he kissed it when he told me about it. Well, another time or two, I had a very short time with him, and I didn't really know until Father James mentioned once or twice that he's quite the man. He's had quite the life. Helped start a seminary, I believe it was in Alaska, etc. Well, just a couple months ago here, we had the funeral service for him up at St. George Antiochian Church, and the OCA bishop was there as well. So it was quite a nice Orthodox experience. Nice isn't the word. There were people from all over, from Alaska and all over the place, who had known Father Joseph, and this was his funeral service at night. I went thinking it was going to be an hour or so, medium to shorter length kind of funeral service. I wasn't really sure what to expect. Found out the next day from my friend that it was the full-on Russian funeral vigil service that we went through, and it seemed like it was about 3 hours or so. However, to me, it could have been just an hour or less in my mind, because I was drawn in to the magic of this event, and more importantly, what seemed to be my friend from our little mission church, who turned out to be a hero of the faith in our modern times, who had now fallen asleep in the Lord, entered this place of paradise with our Lord, which the vigil, the liturgy, was repeating over and over again in subtle, beautiful ways, that this is just his body here, but he's with the Lord and with us in spirit only. So as the liturgy went on and I kept looking up and seeing his body on the stage in front of the iconostasis and the different prayers going on and psalms being read, etc., I kept trying to tip myself a little and see his body. I could only see his hands and his head, which was covered with the clothing. As time went on, it was time to come up and say the final goodbyes to him and honor him. And so there's a big line that went up through the sanctuary. And of course, up near the front is Matushka Marie and her family and her many children and grandchildren they have. I was going to try to ignore Matushka Marie, because obviously I wasn't close to them that much, and yet I didn't want to put an extra burden on her to greet everyone in line. Some people were kind of sneaking by her and stuff, and just saying, shaking her hand or whatever, and some were hugging her more and some weren't. And so I was going to try to be one of those who didn't do much so it wouldn't be awkward. Well, she looks me right in the eye and has this huge smile and sadness about her, but a joy also in her smile of just an immense love. Obviously, it's an incredibly emotional time for her, but her love that she expressed or accepted, I couldn't get by her. She reached out, and I just drowned in her sharing of love and accepting love from the people here. Somewhere either before that or after that, feeling the sense that I had in church when he had some special place of making my children and myself and my wife and others in our little parish feel closer to the kingdom of God, because he was some kind of bridge to all the saints and people who've gone before us over the centuries, all the way back. He is almost a bridge to the rest of the communion of the saints that are with the Lord and that have lived and fought the good fight before us. This always reminds me of Hebrews and all of the righteous spirits who've gone before us and all the deeds and things they've gone through and suffered. Whenever I am thinking of the saints we're honoring on various days of the week or the month, I more and more increasingly enter into the fellowship with them and ask for their prayers and intercessions, which, coming from a Protestant background, as an adult at least, this originally seemed quite weird to me and strange that someone would even do this. Still have friends and relatives that make comments about that in a condescending manner, but they haven't entered into this fellowship in its fullest sense, and so they haven't felt this and experienced this. Father Joseph was there in spirit at this event. I thanked him for his love and reaching out to me and our family as we were becoming Orthodox. I'm sure his prayers for our people in our parish, and maybe even us, I hope it was even for us. Because once after we had become Orthodox, I told him we had just become Orthodox months ago on Lazarus Saturday. And I remember his face kind of lit up when he looked at me over the table. And he said, oh, And he had quite a sense of humor, and so we had some chuckles and things. So I'm sure, I hope he prayed for us. And I just remember approaching his body. Before I did walk up there, I just thanked him for reaching out to us and loving us. And I said goodbye. But it wasn't so much of a goodbye, it was more of just an embrace of love. And this special time, this special evening, was timeless. It didn't seem to drag on. How people can imagine a 3-hour service and not getting bored or whatever, it's hard to think of and imagine being able to do that in our modern lifestyles. It happened there, a magical evening of fellowship, a timeless fellowship. This is the communion of the saints that we can have with all those who've gone before us. We see early in the images in the book of Revelation, we see that there are prayers going up, there are incense, the prayers of the martyrs who are praying to God. We know that those who die in Christ, who pass away, just like Dismas, the thief on the cross, when Christ said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," or "This day you will be with me in paradise," they are in the presence, at least we know they're in a paradise state of some sort, even before the bodily resurrection. If they are in close communion with God, their souls are and spirits are, they're going to be in a state of worship and prayer and not completely separated from all the believers who are still walking around on earth in our bodies. This is a hard concept that people don't understand. When you're Protestant, at least, people are gone when they pass away, and they're gone. Do you have memories of them or not? But they're a million miles away. They're nowhere near you. They're nowhere involved in anything going on anymore. They're forgotten about. They're on the other side of the universe, so to speak. Completely unrelated to anything going on now that we can be aware of. And this, of course, is that intense alienation from the heavenly realm that I've mentioned earlier. That until you know that there's more richness and fullness of the kingdom of God that you can experience now, you don't realize what you're missing until you're on the other side. And so just this Sunday, tears came to my eyes, not of total sadness, almost a bright sadness, the bright sadness like we have now in Lent. Our sadness has a certain brightness to it. Our next podcast is going to be dealing with the topic of sadness, the brightness of a holy sadness, and how a sad face is good for the heart. Father Joseph's saint was Saint Herman of Alaska, I believe, and on the little pamphlet from his funeral service, it has a quote right on the cover there. "From this day forth, from this hour, from this minute, let us all learn to love God above all else." Saint Herman of Alaska. If you'd like to look at some of his life experiences, some of his early days traveling to Alaska, it's pretty fascinating, and what he accomplished, some of the little tales about him, you can find that online. Proto-Presbyter Joseph Kreta, or Archpriest Joseph, Kreta, Memory Eternal. However far away, I will always love you. However long I stay, I will always love you. Whatever words I say, thank you for joining me on these meditations today as we understand this journey toward orthodoxy.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio on the web at ancientfaith.com.